Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Over to Bruno, out to Trey. Straight away three, bang! Trey Young has done it again, folks! The Hawks lead 100-93. Trey's got 22 on the night.
I knew we needed a score. No matter who it came from, I knew we needed to get some scores. And I felt like I had a good rhythm going in. And I knew I had to get going. So
Trey Young got it going. Boy, did he get it going. No field goals in the first half. I think he was 0 for 8 from the floor in the first half, coming back from that ankle injury. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Last night against San Antonio, I had 1 point at the break, and everybody kind of going, oh, how long is it going to take Trey to get back into form? Well, it took apparently that half, because in the second half, he scored 28 points, and the Hawks rallied from down 15 to win by 8, 108-100 over San Antonio, and snapped their three-game losing skid. And so the Hawks win at home last night behind another fabulous performance by Trey Young, and a good showing, Hugh, by Jabari Parker stepping in for John Collins, had a nice game. Bruno Fernando starting to show you some of the things. I told some fans, I think you're going to really like Bruno Fernando. And the other guy's going to have to step up in and around this suspension to Collins, and I think you saw a little bit of that last night.
Yeah, that goes without saying. I'm pretty sure that Coach Pierce went in that locker room that night and said, hey, listen, we guys down, you got to treat it like an injury, and somebody's going to have to step up. This is a great opportunity for one of those young guys to make his bones, if you will. You know, I mean, not saying that you move on from John Collins. He was a big piece of what you wanted to do, but still. Like I said, you have to treat it like an injury. He's going to be back, but it's going to be in 25 games. So you got to hold the fort until he gets back, because there's a lot of, hope for this team to make it to the playoffs this year. That's going to be a tough task, no question about it. It's going to be a tough task, but, you know, you be able to find out what you're made out of.
Right. No, I mean, they were 5-10 with Collins injured last year in 15 games. And now they're going to miss him for 25. He's going to appeal and go to arbitration to get this reduced. Collins is claiming that, you know, unbeknownst to him, that's what he said, unbeknownst to him, he took this supplement. How much of a defense that is? The National Football League getting ready to roar back up. It is hate week for the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, we'll get into the big game on Thursday, which will be the Los Angeles Chargers.
Puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass.
Thank you. Of Orange County off the 91 at Carson against the Oakland, now Las Vegas Raiders. In Oakland, California, that'll be the Thursday night game, Raiders and Chargers. And I wonder how that rivalry, which is a great Western rivalry, changes when instead of San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, it becomes Los Angeles Chargers and Las Vegas Raiders. Of course, it would be entirely different if it was the London Chargers and the Oakland Raiders.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not going to happen now.
The owner of the Chargers came out and said, "Who I don't know where y'all got that information from, but that's not going to happen. That's not going to fly. That dog ain't going to hunt."
This is Dean Spanos, owner of the Chargers, talking about the reports from The Athletic that the Chargers might move to London.
It's total okay? We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we're planning to be for a long time, okay. Period.
Okay.
He sound triggered. He sounded like he was triggered. I like it when people get a little triggered like that. That, to me, that's hilarious. It's hilarious. It sounded like he was triggered, but to that point, yesterday was a big story coming out that they were seriously considering moving to London. And that's where, you know, we all kind of took it and we kind of ran with it a little bit. So, yeah, I know I don't know where it came from, but that was the storyline. And it was also said that they were seriously considering. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know why he's triggered, because obviously it was somebody from his camp that released it for everybody to go with it the way that they did.
Yeah, the NFL is coming out saying that there have been no discussions between the NFL and the Chargers about moving to London, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes, you know, all that could be true. And sometimes, as you know, that could all be smokescreen because something got out that they didn't want to get out. that they weren't prepared to start talking about here. The Chargers and Rams are due to move into the brand new stadium in Los Angeles as co-tenants, like the Jets and Giants do in New Jersey, and share that stadium.
But wait a minute. Did you just say the Chargers are moving to Rams Stadium?
Yeah, they're building a new stadium for both teams, yes.
Wow, well, they got job then. Because the renderings I've seen of the stadium, it looks like a Ram. I mean, if when you look at it from the sky view,
mm-hmm.
It looks like a Ram. Yeah, it looks like a Ram. Chargers State, the Ram State, it looks like a Ram. Mm-hmm. It's built in the shape of a Ram.
I've never been to the new stadium. I only went to the old Meadowlands. Man, you played in the old Meadowlands, right? When you were with the Jets?
Yes.
My sense was going into the old Meadowlands, it felt like you were in Giants Stadium, even if you were at a Jets game, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they did get a job here. No, they're planning to move into the same stadium.
It looks like, it, from the aerial view, it's shaped like the helmet. Hmm. It's shaped like the helmet. Because I saw the overlay. Yeah, that's weird.
And one of the stories is that the PSLs that are being sold out there, that the Rams are selling okay, but nobody's buying Chargers PSLs, Hugh. Nobody is buying Chargers PSLs. And as a result, the Rams are mad because, you know, they have to share the cost of the stadium, but can you tweet that out, actually?
Yeah, I am. I am, because it's in the shape of some, because somebody overlaid the Ram on the stadium. So, yeah.
And this, I'll tell you, this is my experience. As you know, I'm in Atlanta for a number of years, for a long, long, long time, Hugh, for 15 years and so. And then I went to L.A. and San Diego for 10 years. And then I came back home, a number of years ago, about 12, 13 years ago. I came back home. And in the 10 years I was in San Diego and L.A., I covered the Chargers for a number of years in San Diego, and I got to know the Spanos family, Alex and Dean, fairly well. One thing I'll say, the voice you heard that was bleeped out was Dean Spanos. He is the owner of the Chargers. Be very careful what you believe out of the mouth of Dean Spanos, okay? So he lied to the people of San Diego constantly, constantly. And so if Dean Spanos says, that's not true, my first reaction, Hugh, is maybe it's true, you know, because I don't trust Dean Spanos as far as I can throw him. I just tell you that right now. Dean Spanos is not a guy that will tell you the truth. Did not.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know him.
I know. I'm just letting you know about that. That's the only thing about that. Other big story in the NFL is Cam. Cam Newton has been placed on the injured reserve list and is out for the remainder of the year. There are stories now wondering if Cam Newton will ever play again for the Carolina Panthers. They could cut him. Drew Brees and Cam Newton, okay? Here's the difference between the two in terms of the franchises moving on if they still want to play. If Drew Brees still wants to play and the New Orleans Saints want to move on from him and go to Teddy Bridgewater next year, the cap hit, the dead cap hit to the New Orleans cap from Drew Brees would be $21 million, which is just intolerable. It takes away your ability to do anything. If the Panthers want to move on from Cam Newton, the dead cap hit is $2 million. It would actually free up $19 million for them to be able to go out and make other moves. So there are a lot of people saying, well, if the dude can't play with us, or if you're good with Kyle Allen, maybe it's time to go ahead and say goodbye to Cam Newton, and the Cam Newton era is over in Carolina. I think that Cam would probably still want to play. I could see where teams that are desperate for quarterbacks, especially veteran quarterbacks with the lineage that he has, the Bears, the Redskins, to come in and shepherd their teams for a couple of years, would have high interest in Cam Newton. But, boy, it's starting to sound like Cam Newton may be done in Carolina.
He might be. You know, you're talking about that foot injury and them tired of asking questions or answering questions about Cam Newton and his health. You know, that would be something that they're probably looking to move on from. But it's also been, you know, kind of heightened a little bit because of what Cam had to say. You know, he set out something on his Twitter yesterday. He was talking about, you know, love being a Carolina Panther, and mm-hmm. he understand how this works and things of that nature. So, yeah, it leads for a lot of speculation. But Cam's going to be okay. I think Cam has done a lot of philanthropic work where he's going to, you know, want to do something different with his life. He's going to be okay. If he wants to play football, he's going to, you know, explore that. But right now, I think the biggest thing on his mind is just to get healthy.
Right.
Go get healthy.
That Liz Frank or whatever he's got going on in his foot and trying to get him healthy. And, again, IR for the remainder of the year. And look, he's only 30 years old. So he's young enough that, I mean, he could play for another 10 years if he wanted to. And I think that there are enough teams in the NFL. You start looking around at the league, and you can identify, gosh, seven, eight teams that could use a quarterback of his nature to come in and play for them. And if they get him for the right deal, I could see Cam being somewhere. Is Cam Newton, even not in his current state because he can't play, but, if, you know, presuming his foot was healthy, is Cam Newton an upgrade from Mitchell Trubisky?
I would say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a big upgrade. You think the Bears wouldn't jump at that chance? And there's no guarantee if you're a team like Chicago that you're going to be able to get, you know, what quarterbacks are going to be available in the draft? I mean, if there are four or five quarterbacks that go in the first round, are you going to be able to get, you know, the really premium quarterbacks? You're not going to get Tua. I mean, he's going to be at the top of the draft. You know, depending on what you value, you know, Justin Herbert at, you're down to the kind of the second level of quarterbacks, and you're counting on that guy to come in and start for you right away? A guy like Cam's going to have a lot of value to the Carolina Panthers. Headlines of the day, of course, the big story, not the good story, John Collins and how the Atlanta Hawks are going to miss him between now and Christmas. Ahead on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
No, I don't have any. I mean, I'm not even the least bit. I'm so tied into what we've got this week. I don't even think about that. I have no idea and don't care because everybody knows it doesn't matter. I mean, what matters is how we play against Missouri is the only thing we can control.
Absolutely true. Kirby Smart saying, you know, I don't really care about the college football playoff bowl. We can only control what we can control, which is our game against Missouri. And for Georgia, it's very true. They're a top six team, and they control their own fate and their own path in the college football playoff. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the things I love in fandom, this has just been my experience over the course of my life, is that when it comes to fan bases, there's no more enjoyable and intriguing and fun fan base than college football fans, because they are so in their feelings, maybe more so than any other fan base, just my opinion, Hugh, any other fan base that exists out there in the United States anyway. I mean, these college football fans, they go in hard. And if they feel like they're slightly disrespected, you're not, my man, they get all in their feelings.
All I know is that the Florida State fan base raised $20 million on the weekend to send Willie Taggart on his way. when the banks were closed. That's all I know. So, yeah, I believe it. That's how they fandom went. They raised 20 stacks, 20 mil on the weekend after the banks were closed to get him up out of there.
Well, you know, Clemson fans are all mad because they're outside the top four. I don't see, you know, when people are responding. And you can react, by the way, with us, 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Certainly on our Twitter where we're talking about on the morning menu question, we're asking you about, you know, what team was I want to make sure I get it correct here. Otherwise, I'm going to get it wrong, the exact wording of this on the morning menu. How did you phrase it, Abe? Which team is incorrectly slotted? Which team is the most incorrectly slotted in the college football playoff top 10? All right. And so you can weigh in on that. Which team is most incorrectly slotted? A lot of Clemson fans are thinking they're incorrectly slotted at number 5, and so does Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers.
In the beginning of my career, it was, well, they'll never be an ACC great team in the playoff because they don't play anybody. Well, then we become a dominant team in the postseason, and now we only win because we don't play anybody. It used to be, well, you couldn't match up in the postseason, and now it's, well, you only can win in the postseason against the great. And I just laugh, and I'm like, I mean, it's just the same old spin. And I mean, who's beat Alabama in the SEC?
That's a good question. Auburn a couple of years ago, that's about it, you know. Clemson's beaten Alabama, beating them a couple of times for a national title, too.
Yeah, he seemed like he's a triggered a little bit. But I will say this. You can argue that about Alabama, too. They haven't played anybody. Like, really. You look at Alabama's schedule, this will be their toughest game to date. But I'll say this. Like, you know, you talk about the SEC and the schedule. You know, the perception of SEC is that, you know, all the teams are pretty darn good. You look at Alabama's schedule, and it's been pretty legit. But they're going to get a true test this weekend at LSU. Mm-hmm. But Clemson, man, come on, man. They were talking about the strength of schedule. Clemson played Georgia Tech. A&M was their toughest game this year. Syracuse, Charlotte, North Carolina, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Wofford. coming up. Come on, man. Well, Wofford was last week. Yeah, North Carolina
ran
State.
Ran Wofford
yeah.
off the –
Come on, man.
Yeah, and they almost lost to North Carolina. If North Carolina, you know, went for two and didn't get it. Again, look at it this way. Ohio State number one, which some people are a little bit surprised about because the committee is supposed to. Now, this is what the committee says. The committee says this. The fact that Clemson is the defending national champion, that Alabama is this powerhouse juggernaut that keeps winning every game that it does every season, that doesn't matter. What matters is only what you have done so far to this point this year. And we're not going to worry about margin of victory or the eye test. What have you done in terms of the quality of your victories at home and road and the quality of your losses and how that relates? When they come up with it, then they rank Ohio State number one and LSU number two, and it makes me go, wait a minute now. LSU has three wins against top 10 teams. Say what you like about those top 10 teams. How is that not a quality win thing over Ohio State? Exactly. Who's Ohio State beating? Wisconsin? That's it, right? Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati. Well, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, they beat but not a Power 5 team. I think they're a good group of five, you know. All right. Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, Penn State 4, Clemson 5, Georgia 6. Okay. Again, Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Penn State, Clemson, and Georgia. Now, what you need to know about these top six teams, Hugh, is all of them control their fate. If any of those top six teams win out, they're in. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I personally don't put too much stock in the rankings as of right now. The first rankings of the year. And teams are going to cannibalize one another. Now, you're talking about Clemson. For Coach Sweeney to be making all this noise, let's just keep it real. They're going to win out. They're going to be in. Sitting at number five, they're going to be in. The ones that you got to pay close attention to, well, the four that you have to pay close attention to are the first four. LSU, Alabama, that's going to take care of itself this weekend. Ohio State, Penn State, we got a little while to wait for that one. But anything can happen because Penn State has what? Minnesota this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
They got Minnesota. That's an undefeated squad. This is all going to take care of itself. So that's why I don't really see why anybody is getting their feathers all ruffled. This LSU-Alabama thing is going to take care of itself. One of those teams is going to fall out of the top four. Clemson is going to win their game this weekend. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there. Who do they have this weekend? Clemson has North Carolina State. Let's just go ahead and pencil them in for a W. I mean, you know, I know they still have to play the game, but come on now. Georgia's sitting pretty. Those four teams, that's going to take care of itself. I don't see – it's impossible. Those four are not going to go undefeated. Ohio State, Penn State still has to see each other. Minnesota might have something for Penn State this weekend. You just never know. So that's all going to take care of itself.
Right, so Georgia, number six, controls its own fate and destiny and path. If Georgia wins out, they're going to be in the college football playoff as the SEC 12-1 SEC champion. That is not the case. That's the line that you draw, though. Right below Georgia at 7 is Oregon, 8 Utah, and 9 Oklahoma. Those three are the three highest-rated one-loss Power 5 teams behind Georgia. And Oregon, Utah, and Oklahoma all can win out and not make it. So they're going to need a little bit of help. Those three teams could all win out and not make it. Georgia wins out, they're in. But that's the line. There's a line here. So if you're in the top six, you can't really worry about whether you're one or six. It doesn't matter. You just have to win out and you're in, okay? That's not the case for Oregon, Utah, and Oklahoma. Those teams are going to need a little bit of help because you can make a case here that, you know, LSU could lose this game this week and still be in. You know, they're the one team, you know, maybe, you know, Penn State could Penn State lose and be in? I don't know. Could Ohio State lose and be in? Maybe. But LSU could certainly go to Alabama this week, Hugh, play a tough game, lose by 3 points, lose in overtime, be 11-1, and still make it.
Yeah, that's strictly on the strength of LSU's schedule and who they've played. Clemson, I think they're shoo-in, regardless of what happens with them. Put it like this. If Clemson suffers a loss, they're out. But Clemson's probably going to win out, more than likely going to win out. They're going to be in. So now you're just fighting. Really, you're fighting for three positions. You got five teams fighting for three spots.
Right,
And you're talking about Georgia controls their destiny. They still got a tough road ahead of them. All those other four teams that I'm talking about, John, they all have a tough road ahead of them, and it's potential there for at least the Big Ten schools to have at least two losses on their resume, potentially. So that would eliminate them. If Georgia runs the course and stay the course, they're going to be in. Clemson's a shoe-in. I mean, let's call it what it is. Sit at number five, they're in the catbird seat. And looking at their schedule, they're in the catbird seat. The other five squads, they're going to have to fight it out. Those are the ones that are going to have to fight it out. I think you're talking about those Pac-12 schools out west. Man, listen, Oklahoma, nah. Utah, definitely not. They don't have a shot. They don't have a shot.
Yeah, it would have to take a little bit of chaos. Oregon, maybe. Oh, nah. You know, Oregon, maybe.
Nah.
I mean, if you had a little bit of chaos in front of them, maybe. If Georgia lost, for example.
In order for Oregon lost, to get in, you would have to have probably Penn State and Ohio State to have two losses. Nah.
Going to be interesting and fascinating the rest of the way, isn't it? But yeah, Clemson fans, Georgia fans, don't worry about this. You're good. As long as you win out. If you lose, you're out. But it's up to you, not up to the committee. So don't worry about whether they rank you five or six and outside the top four. You're okay. College basketball is underway. Stellar night for Georgia and Georgia Tech to start the season. We'll tell you what happened with them as we continue next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
You know, hopefully we'll get this team to a place where there's strength in numbers. And we're not there yet. Right now we have a lot of bodies, all right? But we've got to get guys that they can bring a lot of value to the court. And that's all part of the learning process with a young team.
Georgia head basketball coach Tom Crean talking about his club. He does have a young team, but they have some talent on this team at Stegman this year. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. And last night, the debut of the highly touted, much anticipated number one recruit in the state, arguably number one recruit in the nation, certainly number one shooting guard in the nation, and Anthony Edwards, as he debuted the Pride of Holy Spirit Prep over there off Northside Drive, Hugh, as the Bulldogs pulled away late against Western Carolina. Anthony Edwards had 24 points in his debut game, and just looking at some of the highlights, because I'm like you, I don't have ESPN Plus, so I had to watch the highlights. The guy is everything as advertised. He's big, strong, and can shoot.
Very, very athletic. Very, very, very athletic guy. We were looking at some of the plays that he made. Of course, you know, watching the highlights, they were just that, highlights. But, you know, I look at his body makeup. Got nice size for a freshman. Like, really big for a freshman. Like, he does know where the weight room is. I think he's going to be really, really good for Georgia.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be really good. And Tom Crean reacting to what he saw out of this young star who had 24 in his debut game.
I don't know if he felt pressure. It was their first college game. I think that's where the pressure is. I don't know if it's the pressure of living up to anything. He really doesn't. That's not him. Now, I've not seen that in him. But being an 18-year-old since August 5th, playing his first official college game, I did see that. Right? I did see that. And I think you see that in all of them. I mean, we can practice till we're blue in the face. I'm glad we played Valdosta here. I'm really glad we went to Charlotte for that exhibition. But it's a little different when it's opening night and there's that kind of crowd in the stands.
And it is, and George is going to be, you know, in a position where they have to grow as a team. You know, they have a pretty good backcourt, it looks like, Hugh, with Crump and Edwards. The SEC, as I was talking about yesterday, is deep and strong. We saw that yesterday with the way Kentucky played and Tyrese Maxey in that win over Michigan.
Kentucky's always pretty strong.
Yeah, uh-huh,
I mean, it's right? Not. It's like the other teams. You know, you're talking about like an Auburn or and Georgia, for that matter. Mm-hmm. Those are the teams that you're looking at that, you know, would probably be a little bit of a surprise. In the SEC.
Yeah, Auburn went to the Final Four last year, as we know, and came, you know, within a whisker of playing in the national title game. They're going to be really good this year. LSU's good. Florida's good. The league is deep. Tennessee's going to be good. Alabama's going to be good. So there's a lot of really good teams in the SEC. And Georgia's going to be in that mix this year because they're going to have – and what's going to be interesting to me, Hugh, is that, yes, there's a Georgia-Georgia Tech game coming up in a couple of weeks, but over the Thanksgiving holiday, Georgia goes out to Hawaii to play in the Maui Classic. They're going to open against Dayton. If they can beat the Dayton Flyers, which, by the way, not going to be easy. Dayton's a really good team. But
yeah, they're like a little veteran team. They're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, you talk about a lot of these teams that have success, like Kentucky. Dayton's a little bit of an older club.
And that'll be a tough game for Georgia. But if they can get by Dayton, then their second-round game in the Maui Classic will be against Michigan State. And potentially their third-round game, the championship game, would be against – no less than Kansas. I mean, I'm not saying that Georgia would get a chance. You know, Michigan State's a tall order. Cassius Woods, even though Michigan State lost last night, Michigan State still was the number one team in the nation. Cassius Winston is a tremendous, tremendous player. They're going to be heard from here, but they're going out to Maui to play in a tournament that does have Michigan State and Kansas in it, also has UCLA. And so this will be a real kind of gauge as to where Georgia is in terms of going out to Maui over the Thanksgiving holiday and getting an idea heading towards the SEC season as to what Tom Crean. One thing I do know about Tom Crean, if you go back and look at him, Hugh, in his career, at Marquette, he went to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade. At Indiana, he didn't get to the Final Four somehow or another with all of the stars that he had at Indiana, won numerous Big Ten titles with Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller and, you know, Yogi Ferrell and all the stars that he had, but he wasn't able to get to the Final Four, but, you know, made it to the Sweet 16 a number of times. He can get talent to come, and he can coach them up, and he can, and he has success. He's a successful coach, and I think he'll do big things at Georgia. I really do. I think Georgia fans ought to be really excited about the future with Tom Crean. So you've got Georgia and Western Carolina. Then Georgia Tech last night, Hugh, goes on the road. The ACC Network, as you know, has just launched. And one of the things that the ACC Network wants to do is have some marquee events. And so while they have the Champions Classic in New York last night, the ACC, in its first ever basketball night on the ACC Network, decides, let's put a bunch of conference games to start the season. Conference games. So Georgia Tech goes to play a conference game at NC State to open the year and wins. After being down 16, they go to Raleigh, Hugh, and win in overtime on a pair of free throws by James Banks. That's huge for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, especially when you talk about the fact that they were down by 15 points in the first half, for them to come back like that. And with all the tumultuous things that are swirling around Georgia Tech right now, it's good to have something else to talk about besides all the other stuff that's going on with Coach Pastner right now.
Yeah, so big win. I mean, to go out on the road and win in the ACC is never easy for any team not named Duke or Carolina.
And it didn't count as a conference game. It didn't count as a conference game last night. Game did not count as a conference
game. No, it did count.
It did, okay. But on these notes it said game did count. My fault. I read it wrong.
Yeah, that was –
my fault, man. I read it wrong. Forget you. Forget both of y'all. Y'all, no. No, y'all looking at me like, I just read it wrong. I kind of just glanced at it real quick. Yeah, I read it wrong. Forget both of y'all. I messed up. Forget y'all. Laughing. Stop laughing.
Well, one of the things that we do know is that, you know, we have to get used to one of the problems, the one and done, Hugh, is that every year with these teams like Kentucky and Duke and Carolina that have such big volume turnover in their lineups is that we have to kind of learn. We're watching Duke last night, and I'm going, okay, I know who Young is. I kind of know who Delorier is. The rest of these guys, who are these guys? And Kentucky, I'm going, okay, I got no clue. You know, it's
always like that,
man.
With Kentucky, though. I mean, Kentucky is the king of one and done. That's why, you know, you look at what they've been able to do out there. I mean, it's amazing to get guys, especially young guys, to buy in to what you're selling for one season, 6 months. You know, Calipari to get out there and do that, that is something that a lot of coaches can't accomplish. And for him to be able to do that and put his teams in contention every year, that to me is pretty amazing.
Nice win, by the way. Just on the outside here, I know that this isn't in our world last night, but one team to watch, there's some belief that Memphis could make a run at the national title this year with Penny Hardaway now as their brand-new head coach. They had a tremendous recruiting class, maybe the number one player in the nation. They won their opening game last night. Just got to put that on your radar somewhere down the road. Watching what Penny Hardaway is able to do with the Memphis Tiger program. But, college basketball, the one-and-done thing, I keep hoping, Hugh, that the NBA is going to change this one-and-done. I think it would be good for the NBA. I think it would be good for college basketball. Let's get rid of the one-and-done. And if we do, I think, you know, it would help the game in telling, you know, young players that, yes, you can, if you're capable of going to the NBA at age 18 out of high school, then go. And if you're going to go to college, then you got to spend 2 years. You know, which is the baseball rule, and I'd like to see the NBA, the college basketball, pardon me, the NBA. The one and done is an NBA rule, okay, and it's not a college basketball rule, it's an NBA rule. The NBA would change that rule and allow college basketball. That's right, they're changing it. I know that Adam Silver had talked about it. They're changing it in 2022.
If nothing changes right now, that'll be gone in 2022.
22?
Okay, good.
You're loud, Abe. You're really, really loud. Oh, that's John's headphones. Really, really loud.
I'm
what they call deep.
Yeah. 50% hearing in my left ear. Falcons fans, you can tune in tonight. You know, they gave 2 hours before every Falcons game. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry and Paul previewing the Falcons and Saints. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light. Brewed for the Dirty Birds this week. That'll be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Decatur at 11 for countdown to kickoff. And get you a Bud Light and a Grindhouse Burger at the same time. Talking about college football, we're talking about the notebook, we're talking about you and reacting to everything that is this poll here. Want to hear what you have to say. Clemson fans, Alabama fans, Georgia fans, give us a call, 404-741-0929. Ohio State fans, are you surprised you're number one? Let's hear from you about what you think about this first college football playoff poll of the year with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.